This is a cover of Wham's Last Christmas, but this has just been done this season by a local band called The Vets and Amanda Shaw. I love it. It's available on Spotify, and you should make this part of your Christmas music list. All right, we've got a lot going on here this afternoon, and we will get to all of it. We've got a lot of great Christmas bumper music scheduled for this hour, because I want to talk about this dragon Christmas display in Mandeville. Is a Christmas display of inflatable dragons inappropriate for Christmas? We'll get into that. Also, I'll bring you updated on everything that we've been talking about this afternoon. But it's time for the results of the Tuesday Song Text Off. These are two covers. The original was done, I don't know, maybe by Frank Sinatra or Judy Garland. I don't know. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's a classic. Everybody's done it. So I picked two modern day versions of it. And they're both covers, but one was done a long time ago. Here was the runner-up. It was Song B, and this is Christina Aguilera. I mean, that girl can sing, right? So if you're going to beat Christina Aguilera, you got to be really, really good. Well, Song A, The Carpenters, beat Christina Aguilera. And what a loss. She's just amazing. Karen Carpenter is amazing. To say she has the best voice ever is just, it's a subjective opinion, because it's all what you believe when it comes to art. Art is subjective, not objective. And I would have to say that, man, she's got one of, if not the best voice in pop rock music for a female. Just amazing. All right, if you want to join us with your comments about anything we talk about, the number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. We have been talking about the Saints. And what is it that you want to say about the Saints' win over the Panthers last night on Monday Night Football? The Saints are now 12-2, best record in the NFL. And I was at the airport just after 2 o'clock this morning when the Saints arrived. I was there with the fans. And that's where we get to some comments from the fans on our news today. And that video is still on our Facebook page, WWL Radio. You can check that out. And if you weren't there, and if you've never been there, just watch the video and imagine what it feels like for the fans and for the players to just see nothing more than the players driving by in their cars. And last night, because of the colder weather, there was condensation on the windows, so you really couldn't see all of the players. But the fans were there. I mean, it was a good crowd, even though it was a chilly night. And it was after 2 a.m. when the plane landed. But it says a lot about Saints fans to see them waiting for the team. And it's got to mean a lot to the team to see fans at 2 o'clock in the morning. Fans out there holding signs, chanting. I mean, they're there. I talked to a couple of them. I did the same thing. We took a nap after the game. And then woke up, set the alarm, woke up, and then went to the airport. But it was, what a game. 12-9, Saints win it. It wasn't pretty, but the Saints did win. And we asked the question, are you concerned about the Saints offense at this point in the season? And I forget what the end result was, but a slight majority said they were concerned about the Saints offense. And I don't know if worried is the right word, but maybe a little concerned, unless Sean Payton is really holding back and just doing what it takes to win and waiting for the playoffs to come around. That is possible. We've also been talking about the suggestion of a GoFundMe account set up to help President Trump fund the wall. If the Democrats don't give him the money, would you donate money to a GoFundMe account to finance the wall for President Trump? And President Trump over the weekend said that Saturday Night Live is a Democrat spin machine. Is it fair to say that comedy is guilty of promoting a political agenda or political ideology? If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And I want to bring this into the conversation. There's a display on the North Shore of inflatable dragons. And it looks like a whole family of dragons. And the dragons are red and green. And there have been some complaints. So the question is a Christmas display of inflatable dragons inappropriate for Christmas? And apparently the woman who put this up got a note from a neighbor that says, this is barely acceptable for Halloween. It is certainly not appropriate for Christmas. So would a Christmas display of dragons be inappropriate? Our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And from the West Bank, Vaughn, welcome to the show. Hello, Vaughn. Okay, I'm not sure what happened there. Let's go to Marrero. Tim, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Did you hear that announcer say that the Saints didn't even belong to, in the playoffs as bad as they were playing on NBC?
Well, you know, I wasn't sure whether he was talking about – I thought he was talking about the Panthers because the Panthers were trying to get to the playoffs because I did hear that particular moment, and I thought he was referring to the Panthers.
I thought he was talking about the Saints.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was ambiguous. So, I mean, I understand, Tim, because with both of the teams – and, you know, maybe he was. But I perceived it as he was talking about the Panthers, and he was basically saying that, well, look at the way they're playing. I mean, they're not going to get to the playoffs, and they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But I do understand how you could have taken it that way. Because
yeah,
in all honesty,
because
the Saints didn't play that great on offense.
All right, God bless you. Salute.
All right, Tim, glad you called the show. Here's a text that says why does she have dragons? Doesn't make sense. Well, does it really matter? I mean, if you think about it, the birth of Christ was a lot closer to dragons than you and I are. I mean, in terms of them being real, I mean, by, you know, maybe millions of years difference, but still closer to it. I don't know. I just don't think it's a big deal. Here's a text. Are the dragons in an orgy? I mean, Jesus, how inappropriate it is. No, I don't think they're in an orgy. It's just it's a family of dragons there. I don't know why this is so controversial. Why would that bother you? 260-1870, text 870-870. Bunch of people want to talk about the Saints, and we're going to get right back into that conversation. And also this afternoon, we're recognizing the life of Penny Marshall. Penny Marshall Laverne of Laverne and Shirley passed away due to complications of diabetes at the age of 75. And I don't know about you, but nothing says a Christmas carol like a Christmas carol sung by Twisted Sister. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, so I think it's fair to say that all Christmas songs are not totally respectful. That's The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al Yankovic. And I want to remind you that tonight there's a play. We talked to Harry Shearer and his wife, Judith Owen, on the show last week. And there was a show last night, and there's a show tonight, La Petite Theater. It's their annual Christmas Without Tears show. And it was really a great conversation that we had on the air. And I've never been, but I hear that people go every year, and they love it. And this happens not only here, but around the country. Wherever they do this show, Christmas Without Tears, it's packed. And the audience gets involved in it, and some of the audience members know exactly what to do at certain points in the show. It touches on the sentimentality of Christmas, but then also shows a degree of irreverence to kind of take the sting out of that deep sentimentality that so affects so many of us this time of year. So it's called Christmas Without Tears, and I'm assuming there's still some tickets on sale at La Petite Theater. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to that tonight. Couldn't go last night because of the Saints game, but it should be fun tonight. If you're on hold, stay with us. I'll get to your calls here in just a moment. Here's a text. We're talking about this Christmas display on the North Shore. Diana Rowland put up this display of dragons for Christmas, and there were complaints, and there's a suggestion that maybe it's anti-Christian. And this text says the Bible referred to dragons as demonic and demon spirits, whereas Christian Christmas is about Christianity and Jesus Christ. That's why the resentment toward the dragons in a Christmas display. Here's what an anonymous neighbor left this note at Diana's house, and this is about the dragon display. It makes your neighbors wonder if you're involved in a demonic cult. Please consider removing the dragons. May God bless you and help you know the true meaning of Christmas. Diana Rowland sent out a tweet in response. Our dragon holiday display got fan mail, and apparently the true meaning of Christmas involves judgmental BS. The original post was retweeted 10,000 times, and the subsequent posts have gone, subsequent posts have gone absolutely viral. All right, if you got a comment about that, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And we've also got a lot of other things going on, like Saturday Night Live being blamed by the president as being a Democrat spin machine. Is it fair to blame a comedy show, a show that does skits? It's always been irreverent and sarcastic. Is it fair to blame that on being a political spin machine? And I got a text earlier from someone who said, I bet Lauren Michaels, the producer of SNL, is a liberal Democrat. I wouldn't take that bet because I'm sure he is. But that doesn't matter. And then the text went on to say, well, look at the actors he hires, like Alec Baldwin. Well, what about the actors that he hired to make fun of Barack Obama when Barack Obama was president? I mean, you see how easy it is to answer some of these questions? It's about comedy. And President Trump is giving out a disproportionate amount of material on an hourly basis. From Biloxi, Joe, you're on WWL.
Hey, happy holidays, Stu.
Same to you, Joe.
Kind of concerned about the Saints. I don't think they'll make the play, or win in the playoffs if they keep their offense keeps playing like they have. I mean, it's been, I don't know. I think the best guy on our team last night was Cam Newton.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I think it's the lowest points the Saints have scored, 12 points to win a game since, like, I don't know, the late 1990s. It's been a long time.
And I think they played worse last night than they did Thanksgiving night against the Cowboys.
And then think about how much of the game they didn't play well against the Bucs until the Taysom Hill blocked punt. There was no spark in the offense at all.
But here's two observations that I see, Scoot, and thanks for letting me call. But the running backs are not getting off on the snap of the ball. I don't know if you ever played football in high school or college, but you got to get off on the snap of the ball because that's when everybody's moving. You take a second or two off the snap of that ball, you have a handoff, the lines, you know, the linemen are already up and ready for you. You know, the whole key about rushing through the line is you got to get off on the snap of the ball, and that's what the running back has to do. Guess what? He's 4 or 5 yards back behind the center. You with me?
Yep.
And if you get off on the snap of that ball, and by the time Drew gets the handoff, you should be there to get that handoff and get through the line. But these guys are still, you know, trying to position to decide where you're going.
Well,
what I said about Walter Payton and who is the big running back for Houston Oilers?
Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell. I mean,
we had him for a while.
Yeah. And one other thing, Steve, the play calling. You got third and long, you know, third and eight, third and nine, and you throw a 4-yard pass over the middle. Come on.
Well, Joe, this is. But doesn't
the two passes off to the left that Drew did, and got no yardage and actually lost yardage. Yeah. I think they lost 4 yards on one. They went right back again, and he threw it off to the left and lost another 5 yards.
Well, Joe, when it comes to the play calling, and I'm going to have to leave it there because I've got news coming up, but I'm glad you brought that up. But it goes back to something we talked about earlier, and that is the offense has been so inept the last three games, Cowboys, Bucks, and Panthers, that you wonder if Sean Payton's holding back because some of this just does not even make sense. And I agree with some of the calling and the execution. It just doesn't make sense. So could it be that they're doing just enough to win? And what about Pittsburgh coming to town this Sunday? They may have to do a little more than just do enough to win. Steelers come to town Sunday afternoon, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It's a late, nationally televised game. Everybody's going to see it. Saints and the Steelers. Yeah. The Mellow Tones, local group. Take them to the woodshed. And the Steelers looked great last weekend beating the Patriots. Look, you know, I'm no sports expert. There are people, I sit in the stands for games, and I hear people around me who like know football much better than I do. And I don't pretend to be a sports expert. I'm just I try to be an observant fan, and I love to use things like football and sports as a metaphor, and I love to point out some of the things beyond the statistics. Some people get so wrapped up in matchups and statistics, and you can't really do that because emotion plays such a great part of the game, not just football, but any sporting event. And so when I talk about the Saints, and I love to talk about the Saints, and I try to be honest about them, sometimes they suck. This year has been different after the first two games. I mean, even though they won the second game, they still did not play well at all. But, I mean, the Saints have just become this really great cohesive unit. And, you know, I'm loving it. But, you know, I'm just like many of you. I'm just an avid sports fan talking about the Saints. So I found out now Tim Zimmer, our studio producer, just gave me this new information. The woman Diana Rowland, who was criticized for her dragon Christmas display, she just bought two more dragons. She put them up, and she posted that on YouTube, on Twitter, I think. So I think it was on Twitter. And people are sending her money to buy dragons. I don't know if she needs it, but people are sending her money to buy more dragons. So what does this tell you about society? It tells me that there are some good people out there who understand that sometimes you just have to use common sense. Here's a text that says, dragons rule and crybabies drool. Hey, hard to argue with that. Here's a text. Why do some people have Star Wars decorations? If that's the case, who cares? Yeah, agree. This text says, if SNL is a spin machine, what is Fox News? A spin machine. And I don't think Saturday Night Live is. Chris, welcome to our show.
Yes. I love your bumper music, by the way.
It's, hey, appreciate
great
that.
To hear a little Weezer and Twisted Sister and all that good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, thanks.
Definitely. No, I definitely do think that Saturday Night Live is a Democrat spin machine, but okay. I don't say that to belittle or criticize the show. It just simply is what it is. I grew up on the show. I loved it. I watched it every Saturday until about my mid-20s. I'm in my mid-40s now. I think the show is just a waste of time and useless anymore because I think the writing's awful, but it is mm-hmm. more now left-wing leaning spin machine. Now, do they sometimes criticize, do they sometimes make fun of Obama? Yeah, but there was a lightness to it that was certainly not there when they're making fun of Trump. And I agree that there are times when Alec Baldwin's imitation of Trump is actually very funny. He does a really good job of it.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But to say that they're not, I mean, they're screaming left wing. It's quite obvious.
Well, it is obvious, but they seem to go for the comedy. I think to some degree it's sharper. It might be a little more mean-spirited. I don't disagree with that. But do you realize what we're saying here? If we're giving it credit for being a political spin machine, then we're talking about Americans basing their political views on comedy.
Oh, well, they do. I mean, and again, I think that's a bad thing, but it's just simply a fact. There are so many younger people, and again, I'm not criticizing everybody under 30. There are so many people under the age of 30 that do not get their news from any reliable sources. They get their news from the internet, and they get their news from Samantha Bee or Seth Meyers or Saturday Night
yeah,
Live.
I agree with that. I understand that. But what do we do about it? Because it's really not fair as a society to put the blame on comedy. Or to put the blame on the creative aspect of comedy because some people don't find out the right sources for their news.
Right, and I think as far as Trump is concerned, he's wrong to take it so personally.
Because
in 1975, they were making fun of they were making fun of
Gerald Ford.
Ford, yeah, thank you.
Gerald Ford, yeah.
Yeah, So every president has had its shots on Saturday Night Live since 1975.
Chris,
but he needs to not take that so personally. Yeah.
Well, I agree because, and I'm glad you called, Chris, and thanks for noticing our bumper music. We work really hard at that on this show every day. When Trump becomes so sensitive, well, then that becomes a source of comedy. That's more material for the bit. Man, if he just let it go, it'd be a whole different story. All right, you got a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Okay, yeah, so we do some Twisted Sister, and we do some Weezer Christmas songs and Ramones Christmas stuff. But, you know, sometimes you just got to go back and do one of the classics. And I remember growing up with this, listening to this on my little transistor radio, walking around as a preteen in the suburb of Metairie. Always remember this one. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, we've got another interesting song relating to what we're talking about concerning the Christmas dragon display on the North Shore. It's coming up right out of this break. Also, more of your calls coming up. We know how stressful it is to get to your plane. You know, you got to park. Maybe you take a cab, you take Uber, Lyft, you get to the airport. And then what? You got to get to the gate. It's stressful. There is now a clear path to the gate. In fact, that's what it's called, Clear. Clear uses your eyes and your fingerprints to replace your physical ID. So with Clear, you become your ID. Just tap your finger and you'll feel like a VIP getting to the gate faster with less stress. And Clear is now available, Concourse D, at Louis Armstrong International Airport. And if you're listening to our show somewhere else around the country, chances are it's available at your airport. So this offer is available to all of you listening wherever you are. We've got an offer for 2 months of Clear free. It's a trial offer. 2 months free. All you have to do, wherever you are, is go to clearme.com/scoot. clearme.com/scoot. So this woman on the North Shore in Mandeville puts up a Christmas display. The dragons are red and green. An anonymous neighbor leaves this note. It makes your neighbors wonder if you're involved in a demonic cult. Please consider removing the dragons. May God bless you and help you know the true meaning of Christmas. The woman, Diana Rowland, tweeted out, "Our dragon holiday display got fan mail, and apparently the true meaning of Christmas involves judgmental BS." Here's a text that says, "For goodness sake, the dragons are appropriate colors. Maybe their grandchild or their child likes dragons. My grandson does. Very judgmental neighbors." Another text says, "What makes people think that they have to agree with someone else's Christmas decorations? If she wanted to be satanic, she'd just put up Satan on her lawn." Well, exactly. Keel, you're on WWL. Hey, Keel.
Hey, Scoot. What's up, man? Long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate you calling, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, look, man, I've been listening to SportsCenter all night, and all the thing that's getting me, you got the national media is basically hating on our offense instead of praising our defense. Our offense is going to be fine in the playoffs.
You think Sean Payton may be holding back?
I do, actually. I mean, he's a genius. He's a mastermind. I was just talking about that with somebody right now. Why would he want to show everybody all of our stuff? We're going to have dome field advantage if we win one out of the next two. So
yeah.
I just want to tell Houdat Nation to just calm down, relax. We're going to be fine.
All right, Keel, that's good advice for those people who are stressing out just a bit. From Marrero, Herb, you're on WWL.
Yes, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call. Love your program.
Sure, Herb.
I'm calling to reemphasize what you said, that these games are more about emotion than anything. We beat Carolina because of Cam Newton. Because of Cam Newton, all over the radio shows, the TV shows, complaining about the broom in the locker room, and the wine and stuff, and putting it on his shoes instead of keeping that amongst his teammates and using it as incentive, he was calling the Saints defense out. And that made the Saints defense fired up. Every time they hit him, they had something to say to him. Every time they stopped him on third down, they had something to say to him. And that fired that defense up. And you're
and,
right.
And Herb, that,
those emotions took over.
You know, and that's the problem with you know, being an egotistical, you know what. I mean, it's, you know, yeah. Cam Newton is very, very talented, but he's a little too egocentric. And, you know, the guy is fallible, and he certainly showed it last night. I mean, last night he was a loser. And so sometimes when you put yourself out there as such a winner, you don't know how to be a loser.
Yes.
Well, Herb, I enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad you're listening. Here is a text that says, people are too spoiled and always crying about being triggered. Mind your own business. Yeah, this is about the Christmas dragon display. I mean, that's really true. I mean, that was the case with those. It wasn't everybody, but there were some people within the hashtag MeToo movement that decided. They decided. It wasn't intended this way. They decided that the classic holiday song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, was a date rape song. We explained in detail on we kind of took the song apart on the show and explained why it's not a date rape song. And we knew that it wasn't intended that way. And we kind of explained why it shouldn't have been that way. Also, this afternoon, we have been talking about the death of Penny Marshall, Laverne on Laverne and Shirley. She passed away at the age of 75, complications from diabetes. So here, Penny Marshall passes away at the age of 75. Do you know who is 75 years old today? And I mean, this guy is lucky to be alive. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Today's his birthday. 75 years old. Now, how do you explain to your kids that drugs are bad for you if Keith Richards is still alive at this point in his life? Really, seriously. All right, so the Saints, I mean, it's looking more and more like it. They could go all the way. This is not that cover of the song. This is the original Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox. Although with this came out in the 80s. I don't think Let's Go All the Way was relating to a sports team. But we can relate it to that, and it's fine. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.